Graham. After Epstein came out of jail, Sarah Ferguson took her kids to the party to celebrate his release. True?
Yeah, well, I believe that's true. Yeah, I think they were the first ones to go and celebrate his release.
Madge?
Yeah, I'll go with true. That sounds pretty believable.
It is true. According to the latest batch of emails released, she took both her daughters to meet a convicted sex offender.
Is she the one that had a massive go at, was it Virginia Giuffre? Was that her? Was that someone else? Someone had a massive go. Oh no, this is Duchess of York. No. Yeah, these characters are weird.
They're not normal. Okay, Madge. True or false? King Charles has a valet squeeze toothpaste onto his toothbrush every morning.
Ooh, I'll go with true, given the way he dealt with those fountain pens.
I mean, it's been reported as true. I think he's denied it, but I think that Paul Burrell certainly said it's true, and he used to work for him.
I feel like you know way too much about the monarchy, and I don't know enough, so I don't think this game is fair.
Way too much, yeah.
I think you've done me
this
here.
This is why I was going to put the Brexit questions in, but it's all good. Okay. True or false, Graham? Prince Andrew has 60 teddy bears on his bed, which have to be put out in a specific order, and there is a laminated sheet with a picture of how the bears should be laid out. True or false?
Well, I've heard about the bears, the detail of the order in the picture of it is creepy, so I'm assuming it's true.
I wonder why you get that suspicion.
Well, it's creepy, therefore it's Andrew, therefore it's true.
Therefore it is Andrew. Madge?
I'll go false.
It is false. It was 72 Ooh. In total.
72. I thought you just made up the whole thing. I didn't realise this was...
There's an actual laminated sheet specifying how it has to be laid out. And the reports are, if it's not done correctly, people are shouted at.
They are children. This is the problem. They are children.
I heard... Is it Infidelity? No. What's the book that's just come out?
Entitled.
Entitled. So the guy in that claims that Beatrice and Eugene are just as bad as Andrew. Which
makes a lot of sense.
Wow. Yes, that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
So, which you can buy from a public website shop. And we also did a webinar with him, with Andrew Lowney, a couple of weeks ago. He has said that the daughters do not come out all that well of a lot of this. I think he's going to, I think I heard it not from him, that he might put some of that detail in the paperback. So.
Good. Oh, yeah, because he's going to do an updated version, isn't he? I think I heard him say. I've been watching a lot of his interviews. So there's going to be a version 1.2, as I think it would be called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Madge, true or false? Mm-hmm. True or false? Queen Victoria had her husband's clothes laid out on her bed every morning after he died, as if he was alive.
True.
Graham?
I would guess it's true, yeah.
It is true. It is true. Wow. They are absolute weirdos.
They've always been very odd, and part of it is just they're always treated like children, and therefore they never grow up, and they're just incredibly needy and dysfunctional people, and you know, very strange people.
Peter Pan syndrome, isn't it? Just can never grow up because they have everything.
Yeah, and so they continue to behave like children who are not emotionally mature. So even things like, you know, if you lose your husband, obviously that's tragic, but you know, that was, I think she lived another 40 odd years after he died and never moved on and got over it.
No. She was in permanent black, wasn't she? I think.
Yeah.
Permanent.
And she banned in post, basically. I mean, appalling.
Must have been one hell of a dude.
I heard he was cheating on her. It was quite rampant. But it seems normal for the princes and the kings to go and do stuff like that.
Well, I mean, there's all rumour that she was cheating on him. I mean, there's some and had an affair afterwards as well, but what's true, I don't know. Who knows? But again, they don't have to live by any kind of standards because they can do what they want.
And that's what we're going to get into. Oh. Welcome everyone to the Sunday Roast, and we have a very special guest, which is totally appropriate with what's been going on in the news at the moment. Graham, could you please introduce yourself? I'm sure many of our viewers know who you are.
Yeah, hi, Graham Smith. I'm the CEO of Republic, which campaigns for the abolition of the monarchy, and of course, also of Abolish the Monarchy, appropriately enough. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. It has been ages, because I think the last time we had you on was literally just being nicked for doing nothing, which tends to happen in authoritarian states quite frequently.
Yeah, I mean, it happens here way too often. But yeah, that was the day of the coronation. So when eight of us got arrested, six of us for standing with intent next to a van, and two for standing somewhere near a megaphone during the coronation. So, and 2.5 years later, we're still suing them. So that is ongoing.
Wow. So there's been no resolution, no apology.
It was a half-assed apology on the day after, or 2 days after, but from an officer, but not officially from them. They said, they regretted that we couldn't do what we planned to do, but didn't apologise. They said it was all fair decision-making on their part.
Have their lawyers actually given any indications to the law that you may have broke, or they think that you've broken in any way, shape, or form? Have they not said?
Well, only the law that was argued at the time, which was going equipped to lock on and conspiracy to cause public, whatever the word is, forget
nuisance.
What it is.
Nuisance?
Something like that, yeah. But I mean, we were, released without charge and no further action, so they pretty much accepted that there was nothing there. Yeah, I mean, they don't have a leg to stand on. They've got absolutely no case whatsoever.
Do you think their lawyers are sweating about it?
I think they're, we're assuming that at some point they're going to settle, because I don't think, but I mean, this is just, I don't think they're sweating about it because they factor these things in. I think they just assume that if there's an event which they don't want disrupted by protests, they will arrest people, and, they just factor that budget into the cost of the event.
There was a large settlement paid, wasn't there, to a certain victim by the royal family, I believe. You might know a bit more about that. A couple of years ago?
What was that? 3 years ago now, is it?
Feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, the Queen was still alive, and she stumped up a big chunk of the money along with Charles, £12 million for Virginia Giuffre to stop her from suing Andrew in the US civil court. And it was, according to Virginia's book, which has just come out this week, it was explicitly to avoid the court case spoiling the Jubilee. So they weren't particularly interested in justice. They were just interested in PR, which has been the case all the way down the line.
How would the royal family be able to afford that? Oh, sorry, Alex. How would they be able to afford, £12 million, this family? Where would they get that sort of money from?
Yeah, well, from us. They are, I mean, when the Queen died, he is estimated that Charles inherited £650 million from his mother without paying a penny of inheritance tax. And, this is just standard. I mean, the Duchy of Lancaster pays the monarch over £20 million a year as private income, and that's our money. The Queen could very easily afford £12 million. But the report suggests that £7 million of it was stumped up by Charles, so it's unclear exactly who paid what, but both of them paid it.
I was watching TLDR the other day on this, and they brought Republic up for a little bit, but they did their own assessment, and they were thinking it was £20 million from Cornwall and Lancaster. I think the Crown Estate, they claimed 132. Interestingly, the Conservatives reduced the percentage, so it was from, I think, 1.25% for 10 years to pay for redoing Buckingham Palace, which they then reduced to 5%, but it was still 135 a year.
Now, obviously, on the other side of things, Republicans suggest that this is all nonsense. Firstly, the cost to the royal family that we've already outlined is actually a vast underestimate. Campaign group Republic suggests the real cost of the monarchy each year is closer to £500 million when you factor in security that the Metropolitan Police have to pay for. Former Cabinet Secretary Lord Turnbull has also argued that the link between the Crown Estate and the Sovereign Grant is pretty artificial, and that it was designed to suggest that the monarchy was meeting its own operating costs from its own resources, rather than drawing on taxpayer funds from the Exchequer.
Well, it went in April this year, it went up by £45 million. So this is just the sovereign grant, to be clear. So basically, the sovereign grant is a ruse invented by George Osborne in 2011, where they scrapped the civil list. Mm. And they said, we will give them a grant. Doesn't come from the Crown Estate. It's simply calculated as a percentage of Crown Estate income when it comes to increasing the grant. So if the Crown Estate profits drop to zero, the grant we give the royals would stay the same. It wouldn't go down. But if the Crown Estate profits go up, then the grant we give the royals goes up for no particular reason other than the fact that the profits have gone up. But the money doesn't come from those profits. It is simply pegged to it. So it would make as much sense to say, right, we're going to give them the equivalent of 15% of McDonald's profits, for example. So that's just to clarify that this is no money is going from the Crown Estate into the royal household. It is just that the Crown Estate is a state asset that makes money for us. And they have simply decided to peg it as a means of calculating increases only, not decreases. But that's only one part of it. So on top of that, we pay them £23 million last year to William as private income, 27 to Charles as private income. And then there's a whole load of it, security, cost to local councils, Lord Lieutenants, who are the local busybodies that like to dress up and represent the royals, unpaid taxes, and so on and so on. And we've calculated it at well over £500 million every year. Now, next month, Ireland is electing their head of state. They have a president who is just there to sort of do a similar job to the king. And they cost the Irish taxpayer somewhere in the region of £4 or £5 billion. And we spend half of something like £555 million. So that is extortionate. And the reason why it's extortionate is because it's a secretive, unaccountable and corrupt institution that takes us for a ride every day.
If you took into account that 500 million, I think that does include police services, doesn't it? I think that's where there's discrepancy.
Include security, that 500 million. So,
yeah.
But that's an estimate based on various newspaper reports where they've had internal sort of sources giving them this estimate of security. It's unclear. I mean, there's a whole, that's the sort of the official security bill adjusted for inflation. But there would also be additional costs to the Ministry of Defence, and we're unclear as to where that fits. But so it could well be a lot more than £550 million. It's complicated. But it's complicated by the fact that they don't come clean. No, we have to try and work this out.
I think again, it was just from TLDR. They referenced your report, which I was unaware of. So I'm sorry about that. I wish I could have had time to read it.
Sorry.
But their suggestion was that your report had said the 500 million, but you had hired, like, this was a proper type of thing that you would expect a think tank to go and do in terms of the amount of research, the journalists, the private investigators.
No, it wasn't quite that much. I mean, we rely largely on volunteers. So we've done work, but also we've looked at other sources and I've drawn stuff that I picked out when I was writing my book as well. And we sort of put our heads together and came up with these figures. So, and we have one of our volunteers as an accountant, and he's also very good at doing sort of archival research and FOI research, that sort of thing, you know, freedom of information stuff. So, we've done it a few times, but the last one we did, so the £500 million one came out last year and the previous one was 2017. So we'd left it quite a while and we wanted to update it. So, so we just basically went back through what we'd done before and updated it with new sources and new calculations and so on. And it was fairly quickly that we realised it was now comfortably over £500 million. And then since then, I think that report put it at 505 or 510 million. And then this April, the sovereign grant went up by 45 million. So it jumped to £555 million. And as I said, there's probably other costs.
Because I assume as well, you mentioned other roles. Do you have any ideas to how much, for example, Andrew gets per year?
It's difficult to know because they don't sort of divvy it up and say, right, okay, here's a million for you and here's a million for you. So, but, you know, the house that people are arguing about that he's living in, rent-free, that belongs to the Crown Estate, which is a state asset. So that's public property. And he's paid an amount to live there, and then nothing since. Now that should be available on the open market, or used for commercial purposes to raise funds, because the whole point of the Crown Estate is to use its land and assets to raise funds for the government, which is then spent on, local services and public services and so on. But instead of doing that, they simply let Andrew have that house, and then on top of that, he gets round the clock security. He gets police outriders when he goes anywhere. He flies by helicopter and private jet and all the rest of it. So,
He does.
and not just him, but his daughters and all the other royals do this as well. And I've seen, Princess Anne, I just happened to be on Oxford Circus a few months ago, maybe last year, and suddenly all roads were stopped, police motorbikes in the middle of this place, blowing their whistle, telling people to get off the road. And three or four cars raced around the corner with Princess Anne in one of them. And you look up the court circular, which lists all the events they're doing. She wasn't doing anything that day. She was just going somewhere in London, probably to have tea with some other royal or toff. And that cost us a huge amount of money, because there was at least three, I think, motorcycle police officers, plus probably another five or six police officers in the other vehicles, all for transporting someone that no one would recognize if she simply, jumped in a cab and cabbed it across London.
That's wild. I didn't know that about this. That, again, like you're not hearing too much in the news. Newsnight the other day, we were just touching on that with Rory Stewart. They apologized and they said they hadn't talked about Andrew or the monarchy all year. You're going, what is wrong with you?
Well, there's not
And that
much
was
to
it.
discuss.
And she said, that's our defense. I have to defend Newsnight by saying we haven't done anything on the monarchy for an entire year
That's a
until
shock.
last night.
Yeah.
And you're like,
And there's
what?
been plenty to say about it. This is an institution which puts its corruption right there in front of everybody. Everyone can see it. The abuse of public money is right there in front of everybody to see, and yet they just ignore it. It's pretty shocking. And I've been, writing to Newsnight and other editors and so on, saying the whole story this week has been absolutely atrocious and offensive, because the first sort of 4 or 5 days, it was all about should he lose his titles. And then some people say, oh, maybe he should be told to go and live in another country. And then it's like, well, why is he living in this big house? He should go and live in a different big house. It's like, well, hang on a minute. Why isn't the conversation about the fact that the police should be knocking on his door, putting cuffs on him, taking him to a police cell, and then interviewing him under caution? That's the conversation we should be having. And the other conversation we should be having is, what did William and Charles know? When did they know it? And how long have they been covering up for Andrew?
Well, we know from Amy Roback, the journalist who had her off-air interview leaked, and that saying that the palace was threatening them in all different ways. I think
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that that also quashed the story.
Have you seen this interview? Is it
No,
quite old? Amy Roback, I think it is.
is it a good few years old? It's like a
It's
lady was,
definitely a good few years.
yeah, I think there was a lady who's talking about a scoop she had, and the royal family killed it.
Well,
What's the story?
this has been said a lot by people I've spoken to, journalists, that the royals use the carrot and the stick. They are very aggressive in managing media, and if you annoy them, you'll get cut out and you won't get access. Other times they'll simply say, well, if you don't do that, we will give you an exclusive or whatever. And other times they'll say, if you do that, you lose access. Now, if politicians do that, behave like that, normally journalists will turn around and report the fact that that's what politicians have been done and been doing, because it's completely unacceptable for a democracy for politicians to try and manage access in return for favorable coverage. And we've seen Trump recently, I think the Department of Defense or whatever they're calling it now, saying, well, you have to report what we tell you to report. And all the journalists are like, well, no, obviously not, but the royals do it all the time, and everyone just goes along with it. And this is the problem, is that the press, most, not all of them, but a lot of them are gutless. The politicians are entirely gutless. I mean, even now we're seeing MPs. I mean, I've had an email forwarded to me from a constituent of an MP. I won't say who, and she's saying, you know, Andrew has failed our king and royal family, betrayed the values of the British people, and then saying, you know, ultimately this is a matter for the royal family. I mean, what the hell are you talking about? It's not a matter for the royal family. It's a matter for the British public and for our politicians and the police. And then saying, well, you know, obviously if the palace requested legislation, we'd look at it. So why the hell is Charles being allowed to police his brother, you know, and when Charles has been covering up for his brother?
I did do a bit of research before coming on to try and figure out what, because they're not, you can't call them into court and the Commons can't have the king turn up. So unless he chooses to.
There's a lot of misinformation about this and misunderstanding. I the only person that theoretically you can't bring into court is the monarch. The rest of them can go to court.
Yeah.
Now, you can prosecute a king. We know this because famously we did it in the 17th century.
Charles Stuart, King of England, you stand before this court charged with high treason, in that being admitted King of England and therein trusted with power to govern according to the laws of the land, you did, out of wickedness and design, erect and uphold in yourself an unlimited and tyrannical power.
And we dragged him into Parliament and prosecuted him and chopped his head off. So it can be done. And obviously Parliament is sovereign, and Parliament can very quickly pass a one-line piece of legislation saying the sovereign can be prosecuted in a court of law. So that's very easy. In terms of whether or not they're allowed to discuss it, that is a convention made and agreed by MPs. So if MPs want to discuss it, they can simply tear the convention out. Now, in 2022, Starmer, when he was still in opposition, made some reference to Andrew in the Commons, and Lindsay Hoyle, the Speaker, said, slapped him down and said, you can't do that. Can't make any reference to the royals. And I wrote to the Speaker, and he wrote back saying, there is a lot of misunderstanding, and there isn't actually a general prohibition on talking about the royals in Parliament. And there are some rules which are a little bit odd and archaic about, you know, not criticising people without giving people notice that that's what you're going to do.
Mm.
And what you're not allowed to do, which is fair enough, is imply that the monarch either opposes or agrees or disagrees with you in a debate on some other issue, because that can be sort of appropriating the monarch's position. So, but there isn't actually a prohibition. If MPs want to, they can stand up and do something. Now, the big problem is that our parliament is a load of crap, because it is there to do what the government tells it, and the government controls it. So Starmer has decided that parliament isn't going to get time to debate this, and therefore parliament won't get time to debate it.
No.
And so this goes back to just how dreadful our democracy is. The notion that our parliament, which is supposed to hold government to account, will only do and what the government wants, you know, is absolutely woeful. And MPs should have the power to tell Starmer to get lost and to rip up the agenda for the day and debate Prince Andrew for as long as they want in any way they wish. And government shouldn't have any power to stop. But unfortunately, government dictates what Parliament does.
Did Lindsay Hoyle come back to you? Did he justify it, or did he go, oh, right, I didn't realise?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He wrote back saying, actually, it's not the case that you can't criticise them. You can raise these questions. On Tuesday, I sent an email to every MP citing this letter from Hoyle.
Wow.
And a couple of MPs came back and actually contacted us and said, can you really clarify this? And we put a press release out saying we've done this.
Wow.
So it's all out there. People are saying that actually the rules aren't quite what are being said. But part of the problem is that this is terror from MPs of looking like they're going against the royals. And the MPs really have to just, you know, get a spine, because it's pathetic. And we're seeing, I mean, this is a Liberal Democrat MP that's written back this nonsense saying, you know, if the palace requested legislation, we'll do it, and it's up to the palace. I mean, it's absolutely shocking that our politicians are allowing Charles, who is complicit in paying off the accuser, is complicit in hiding and protecting Andrew and covering up for him. He clearly knew what was going on years ago, that he gets to decide whether or not our MPs legislate or make a decision or debate him and his stupid brother.
Despite the fact that our taxpayers are paying in Parliament.
Well, it's just a matter of, regardless of who's paying what, I mean, it's a matter of basic justice and democracy. Our MPs should not need the permission of Charles to discuss his corrupt brother who's accused of serious sexual offences.
Have you seen the castle they're supposedly going to be sending him to if they put him out the crown?
I haven't seen it. I did hear this. I mean, how is it punishment saying, yes, you can't live in that big mansion, but you can live in that big mansion? I mean, this guy is accused of serious sexual offences. And also, going back to Andrew Lowney's book, he's also accused of corruption in public office when he was trade envoy. He's going around the world allegedly using this position as trade envoy on behalf of the government to feather his own nest and make trade deals. And then he's got this whole thing called Pitch at the Palace, which people thought was some kind of nice little fluffy charity, which ditched him back in 2019, I think it was. But he had a whole other Pitch at the Palace, which was a business, which was doing deals with Chinese businessmen and Turkish businessmen and Saudi businessmen. And there's evidence that there's blatant corruption in all of that.
Well, there's allegations that he's part of a spy ring.
Well, indeed. I mean,
with China.
I mean,
it's nuts.
The problem is that Andrew has no. I mean, someone said, you know, I was asked in an interview the other day, when did he lose his moral compass? And I was like, well, he never had a moral compass. The guy's, you know, he is an amoral person because he never grew up. He was never taught how to make moral judgments, you know. So he's never had any judgment about the right and wrong. He just thinks he can do whatever the hell he likes. He's incredibly naive, fairly stupid, and has no concept of right and wrong. And so he ends up befriending and doing business with the worst possible people. You know, some appalling individuals from Central Asia, from Middle East, and from China, and just has no clue that he's done anything wrong. Even now, he probably sees himself as a victim of some kind of witch hunt rather than accepting that he's done anything wrong.
I feel like there's an element of history repeating here because there's Jimmy Savile, who is as bad as Epstein. And he was linked to Charles. They were best mates. They were hanging.
Well, they've all been linked. I mean, I would say about that is, I mean, there's photos of Charles and Savile going around. But, I mean, there's photos of lots of people with Savile going around. He's a huge celebrity and people either didn't know or didn't want to know what was going on. But the, you know, and he was dead before people really realised what happened. But, I mean, if you look at the example I've been using this week is if in the late 90s, Paul Gadd was found to be in possession of child pornography, and if we had simply said to him, look, Paul, don't worry about it. So long as you don't call yourself Gary Glitter anymore, then we're all okay. You know, no, that clearly wasn't going to happen. You know, so we didn't say, you know, lose your title, you can't be leader of the gang anymore, and that's fine. What we did is have him arrested, prosecuted, and thrown in jail.
Right.
And he kept on reoffending in other ways, including actual sexual abuse, I believe, and kept on going back to jail and came out on bail, back to jail because he broke his bail conditions. And he spent the best part of the last 30 years in prison, rightly. Now, Andrew is accused of having non-consensual sex with a 17-year-old girl who has been trafficked by Epstein on multiple occasions. And apparently his punishment is to not be called Duke. You know, and he's still got the dukedom. He's still Duke of York, but he's just been told he can't use it.
Which, again, you just go, what the fuck type of punishment is that? He gets to live in a castle and he just has to avoid saying it in public.
Yeah. And someone...
That's it. That's
someone
it.
Writing, I think it was in the Mail, some columnist saying that she started to feel sorry for him. It's like, well, what the hell are you talking about? You wouldn't do that if it was Gary Glitter or Jimmy Savile or Rolf Harris. You know, you say, yes, you've done something wrong. You go to court, you get thrown in prison and do your time.
So it was interesting that you brought that up with the numbers and the bias in the press and what you just said there with the Mail writer almost saying he felt sorry for him. I'll throw this over to both of you. How many articles were written about Harry leaving the royal family, like major news articles? Would anyone like to guess? This is by Byline Times.
You're talking total to this day?
Total number, between, I think, 2019, 2023.
It must be in the thousands, but I would have thought.
You reckon, ballpark figure?
2 grand, 2,000?
2,000, you think, for Andrew? No.
Harry.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought.
You think 2,000?
UK press, it's very hard to know, but I would have thought, at least, if not more.
Okay. So, according to Byline Times, it's 20,000.
Fuck
20,000 articles.
It's 20,000.
And it was him choosing to leave.
Yeah. Since what year?
2019 to 23.
That's when they left, yeah. No, this is the thing, because I mean, they only got married in 2018, and Piers Morgan, in the run-up to the wedding of Harry and Meghan, was on a US program, and he said...
She's mixed race, she's American, she's a divorcee, actress. Those are four ticks. No member of the royal family, the senior members, ever thought they would see having to be ticked when it came to Harry's bride. Meghan's marrying into a family which has, to put it mildly, a dodgy track record on race. It's not Meghan Markle's problem, it's their problem.
And you jump forward a year or so and they've left. Piers Morgan is outraged that they've left. He's also, I think, apparently outraged that Meghan didn't want anything to do with them. More of the explanation. Sure. But and then all of a sudden he's saying, oh, I've met the royals, there isn't a racist among them. It's like, well, which is
whether you're white, like, of course, they're not going to be racist to you. You're white, like, he's white. Why would he see any, like, Joe?
But just before the wedding, he was saying that they've got a race problem, you know. And so the whole Harry and Meghan industry, anti-Harry and Meghan industry, is all about people wanting to defend the monarchy. It's about, okay, these people have said bad things about the royals. We like the royals, so we're going to tear them down. It's also, you know, there's racism built in, there's misogyny built in there. You know, when women marry into the family, they're expected to be demure and deferential and you know, just a nice face and a nice frock. And Meghan wasn't going to do that. She was her own person. And so it's an extraordinarily weird, obsessive backlash. And some of the journalists I sadly have to follow on social media, they are obsessed. They just, without any prompting, they'll just come up with some random nonsense story. And even now, this week, some of them have then been commenting on social media saying, well, if we're going to be punishing Andrew, we should punish Harry and Meghan and take their titles away. And it's like, how dare you compare two people who simply said, look, we don't like this anymore, so we're going to move to the States. They haven't done anything wrong, as far as I'm aware. No. You know, I'm not big fans of any royal, but, I mean, they haven't done anything criminal.
You can say
all so. They've said is, look, we don't like it here. We're going. See you later. Andrew is accused of serious sexual offences, and these idiots in the press who love to hate Harry and Meghan try to compare them and put them on the same footing. It's absolutely disgraceful.
So I gave you the 20,000 figure for Harry. How many major articles over that same period were written about Andrew, do you think? So 20,000 for Harry. How many do you think for Andrew?
I'd be surprised if it was 1,000. I mean, it's not really...
It's according to Reuters as well, so...
100?
100 articles on Andrew.
No, it'd be more than that. Obviously, this counts. This is during the time that he did the interview. And also, there was quite a lot in early 2022. So, yeah, it'll be a few thousand, but I mean, it's not on the industrial scale of the anti Harry Meghan thing.
And Madge?
God, I'll go 1,000 then.
2,800.
No.
That'll. Versus Harry Meghan. And then, again, this is byline in Reuters. Out of Harry's articles, what percentage were negative, do you think? The others being neutral, positive, or all right with it?
Oh, 90% of Harry and Meghan.
95?
Oh, it's much less. 63.
No,
okay.
63.
I guess the neutral ones would be them saying a podcast or like a Netflix thing or something.
And neutral to positive, and what percentage of negative articles do you think there were for Andrew? Over that same period. Oh, so 2,800, what percentage were blatantly negative?
I thought most of them.
Yeah.
You think most of them?
Well, you shock me if I'm wrong. But
55? You
know. According to Reuters, 26% were negative.
What?
42 were neutral languaged.
Oh, he's probably like he's been associated with Epstein, and then no analysis on top of that.
Yeah.
Rather than
saying, this is what you get. Yeah. This is it's a lot of that. I mean, the BBC are particularly atrocious on this. They just soft pedal it all the time, and they always take the palace line, and they always sort of suggest that it's all this. This is the other thing that's been driving me mad this week is the idea that William is taking a tough line, and Charles is really frustrated. And you know, I went so on Monday morning. I was on BBC Radio Scotland, and first few minutes was me and Richard Fitzwilliams, who is. Nice enough guy. I've met him quite a few times, but he's talks absolute nonsense. He's one of these royal commentators, which is another way of saying royal fan or royalist. You know, they're not serious. He's not a journalist. He's someone who loves the royals and has made an industry of or career out of just wittering on about the royals. So it's me and him for 5 minutes. And then they had a guy phone in, just a regular guy. He phoned in and he gave this devastating, really hard to listen to testimony about how he had been a victim of sexual abuse when he was a child and the devastating impact it had on his life. He ended up in prison. He had, you know, ended up on drugs and, you know, all sorts of really traumatic stuff going right the way through his adult life. And he was angry, quite visceral anger about the way that all of this is dealt with. And then they cut to Jenny Bond, because I'm still on the phone because they want to hang, you know, bring me back a bit later. And then they cut to Jenny Bond, the former BBC World correspondent who also now makes a living just twittering on about the royals. And it immediately cuts to this other tone of, oh, yes, no, I think she said something like William is, you know, he's spitting with anger or whatever, all this. He's very frustrated that this is going on. And, you know, the king is, you know, it's obviously embarrassing for the king and, you know, distraction from good works and all this kind of crap. And then they get onto this question of whether or not he should lose his titles. And then it's suggested whether or not he should be exiled. They actually use that word. And to her credit.
Where?
Well, indeed. But I mean, this is the mad thing is that Jenny Bond then says, oh, well, obviously, we're not, you know, this is medieval times. We don't exile people. But I suppose the Earl, Duke of Windsor, the former king in the 1930s, no, he went off and lived in Paris. So, okay, so now we're talking about his punishment is living a life of luxury in Paris instead of a life of luxury in London. And I got on to the producer and said, let me back on air, please, because this is absolutely outrageous. And I went back on and I said, what the hell are you talking about? This guy is accused of serious sexual offences. We've just heard from a victim of similar offences, harrowing tales of abuse and the impact that has on people throughout their lives. And you're wittering on about bloody exile and titles. It's absolutely shameful.
What did they say back? Or did they not get a chance?
They went a little bit quiet, to be perfectly honest. I think I didn't stick around to listen to Jenny Bond, but the presenter certainly sounded a little bit sort of taken aback by it because I just thought it's absolutely appalling.
Yeah, it is. I think there's a level of misogyny within that as well because it happened to a girl. Like the number of times I've heard people say, "Oh, she's 17," so that's and you're like, but
yes,
she was forced here against her will.
Yeah. I know. I mean, she was a minor still, even though the age of consent is 16. But the age of consent, you know, the word being consent, it's not the age of yes, you can do what the fuck you like with her. You know, it's you know, she was raped by everybody that had sex with her in Epstein's house because she was forced to be there and told to do that.
Well, there was an interesting thing within Infidelity that came out, which Geoffrey. There was an interesting point that came out in Nobody's Girl from Virginia Dufresne, which is where she said that she had an orgy with Andrew and Epstein. They're the only two there, and that they did sadomasochistic practices.
Right.
She didn't go into detail what that was. But I went, that's really weird, because for you to be sadomasochistic, I mean, it verges on it being illegal anyway in the UK. I know this is on Epstein Island, but that just means it was violence. That's all it was. They committed one of the two committed violence against her. But then it got weirder because I then went and cross-checked that with the court case that she filed against Andrew. And she, in the court case she filed against Andrew, said that he was violent to her. So if you then cross-reference the two, you then go, okay. And then we've got a witness on Epstein Island that said they saw Andrew.
It's probably around 2004. I saw Prince Andrew. He was at the pool. He was with, at that time, an unknown girl to me. She was young. She didn't have any top on. They were engaged in foreplay. He was grabbing her and...
Then you've got a lady came out on Piers Morgan this week who had been attacked and trafficked by Epstein. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, there was a royal on the island as well.
Yeah.
And you go, I mean, obviously there are other royals that have been classed, but you're building up this big picture. But then the bigger flip is that Crusader Dick came out on LBC and said, there's nothing to investigate here. We checked twice.
And we have concluded that there is no investigation for us to open, and we haven't. We have taken advice from the Crown Prosecution Service And I am clear that that was, and it's been reviewed twice, the right decision.
And you're going, how much evidence do you need?
The Met haven't done is take Andrew to a police station and interview him under caution. They just don't want to know.
No.
Yeah. There's a lot kind of say, like, they've got pictures of the dude with him. Like, this is posed, like, you know, with the Jimmy Savile thing I mentioned earlier, like, it'd be like if you hung out with Savile after he got done for, you know, being a paedophile. That's what it'd be like, because Epstein got done in the early 2000s, and you've still got pictures of Prince Andrew hanging out with him and staying at his house. And that Matless interview is so damning, because he's just like, well, I have nowhere else to stay. It's like, bro, you're a prince of the realm, like, in the UK. Like, you've got infinite money. You're telling me you couldn't find a hotel in New York.
Yeah, I mean, he could have bought nonsense. Order the next week. I mean, it's absolutely nonsense.
He could have jumped on a plane. He could have been here if he wanted to be. It's complete nonsense. And, like, with all of this stuff, like, it's the way they settled, it was obvious that she was going to release more information. But
Friend of yours said that to
you're done. You're done.
You're not going to be friends with them anymore.
Yeah.
And the whole, and like, huge chunk of the country in the media going, no, it's okay.
If I was one of the royals, if I was like William, I'd be like, so you hung out with this dude after he got convicted, so right, and you're doing what, playing Scrabble with him? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here? It's crazy, man. Like, the amount of pictures they had, all the media had it. You know, they could have done so many articles on what's going on here. But you know, after he did that interview with Matlis, he probably got scared. But I think the media have done a real direction of duty, just not even discussing the Andrew stuff. And you know, I kind of wanted to discuss Rory Stewart trying to say that, oh, there's too much pressure or scrutiny on Prince Andrew. Is like, brother, he shouldn't have hung out with Epstein then. You know, if he was just a quiet dude who, you know, went to parties and whatever, no one would care. He's such a minor member of the royal family.
But it's not, but the issue comes back to the fact that this isn't just about Andrew, this is about Charles and William as well, because and the late Queen, to be perfectly blunt, but she's dead now. So I mean, it's, but the, you know, there is no way, given that this stuff happened 25 years ago, that the stories were coming out 20 years ago, that the big news broke in 2011, and then the accusations came out, I think, a couple of years later, directly naming Andrew. There is no way in hell that the senior royals didn't go to their flunkies and say, we need to know everything there is to know about this. No, and their senior people would have said, we need to know everything there is to know about this. We need to brief. We all need to know everything so that we are in a position to defend ourselves. We know what we're up against. And they would have gone to Andrew and said, we need to know everything you know. They would have gone to the police and said, we need to know everything you know. And they would have spoken to the US authorities and said, we need to know everything you know as well. And they would have gathered all this information up. So the idea that the email that came out a couple of weeks ago showing that Andrew had continued to talk to Epstein, having said he hadn't, they would have known about that. They would have known about the accusation, the original accusations from Virginia Jeffrey and others. And they would also have known about all the complaints and accusations around his role as trade ambassador. They would have known that, as came out last weekend, they would have known that Andrew tried to persuade a police officer to dig up dirt on Virginia Jeffrey. You know, they would have known all of this. And they, what they didn't do is go to the police and say, right, you're going to have to arrest Andrew and interview him. What they did instead is they used that information to protect themselves and to protect Andrew in order to protect themselves.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And all the evidence is pointing towards that. And yet none of the media want to talk about it. It's only, you have to go on YouTube, frankly, to be able to get actual news, because that system is just locked out to everyone else. Yeah. Like you, I'm shocked that you've not been on more TV this week.
As am I. I mean, this is the point we're going to be starting to lobby the media, because we are the organised opposition to the monarchy. The support for the monarchy is falling, and this is the biggest scandal they've faced in 100 years, and they're not talking about whether or not the monarchy is right or wrong, whether it's sustainable, what the popular opinion is, and they're not talking to people that are campaigning to get rid of it. And that is appalling and shocking and an indictment on broadcasters. We haven't been telling them, you know.
I'm aware of a number of things, but the same thing can be said about Brexit. Like, Question Time had a whole thing on Brexit, and they didn't have any opposition on. Like, they didn't have the rejoining EU party, which is nuts. It's like, that's your main opposition. None of the other parties at the time had a major policy towards rejoin. There was one political party, and they didn't get invited on to a whole conversation. And you just, this is systemic.
True. There are certain things which they don't want to get into, and religion is another one where they They soft pedal on the church and on religion, and they continue to, even though, like, you know, something like 2% of less than 2% of the population are practicing Anglicans. The Anglican Church, the Church of England, is given a huge amount of respect and status and privileged access to certainly to the BBC, and obviously in our Parliament as well. But as far as broadcasters are concerned, they're treated like we're still a Christian country. I mean, and this is the problem, is that what a big part of the problem, well, there's a whole bunch of problems here, but there is a culture within the UK where if you go anywhere near the media, if you're in any way successful on TV behind the scenes, you're getting rich pretty quick by most people's standards. And so you become part of that. You get sucked into the upper middle classes where you can afford private schools and you can get invited to garden parties and all the rest of it. And so you become part of this environment where you don't want to rock the boat, where you want to pretend that the nice little world of Surrey and Buckinghamshire is the world in which the rest of us live, where you trot off to the church on a Sunday morning and you go along and shake the king's hand at a garden party, and you don't rock the boat. And, you know, it just constantly sucks people in rather than allowing serious voices to turn up on air and start challenging it.
My dad quite likes winding up. He's not religious, and I don't think he likes the monarchy at all. So it's quite funny when he brings it up, but he's always winding up monarchists and religious people who go to church being like, isn't Charles the head of the church? And the obvious answer is yes. Yeah. And then they go, but didn't he commit adultery? Yeah. And isn't that like the top sin? I think it's number two, isn't it? In the Old Testament.
I mean,
I'm like,
I've never understood. I tweeted about it this afternoon. I just said, because he's off to visit the Vatican. I mean, the Vatican is as bad as it was, but I don't understand this. When I was growing up in school and going to school back in the 80s, it wasn't particularly religious, but we had to do basic religious education. And it was all about Jesus and his teachings. And to my mind, it was all about, you know, humility and, you know, looking after the poor and crossing the road to help someone. It wasn't about bending the knee to the rich and powerful. And it certainly wasn't about, you know, sort of bending the knee to people who have clearly broken all most of the Ten Commandments and who have, you know, the moral standards of, you know, of someone living in the gutter. So, you know, it's just absolutely atrocious. And it has been pointed out that, you know, it's supposedly historic that Charles is meeting the Pope. And it's not remotely historic. I mean, historic means something upon which events turn. But it is, I suppose, notable that they have a lot of common ground on protecting sex offenders. So maybe they're comparing notes. I don't know.
What's the best defence they can come up with? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the Vatican has been appalling on this, and I think the new Pope is probably okay by Pope standards, but I mean, he's also been implicated. So, but Charles has obviously got this appalling record.
I think the only way to deal with people who defend the monarchy is to kind of make the point that you're defending a friend of Jeffrey Epstein, a good friend of Jeffrey Epstein, and to push that point onto them, the ones that want to defend people like Andrew. That's what I would do anyways. If I was on TV, like, why is the taxpayer funding all of this when we're in a cost of living crisis? And that's what I'd, you know, portray it as.
Yeah, but I think a lot of the public are bringing these dots in there and getting pretty angry about it. It's so obvious.
If I heard that on Radio 4 where you had someone call in and say, look, I was a victim of this stuff and this is how it's affected my life, and here you are defending someone, because that's why you're quiet, because you can't defend that. No one can. You can try and defend them on money and say they bring in more money than, you know, they use or whatever, which is nonsense. You know, no one comes here to meet the Queen. You know, not a tourist. You go to the palace and you stand outside the palace, you take a picture and you go. You can't meet the Queen by doing that unless you're a wealthy person or a member of another royal family. So it's just silly. Other, you know, Palace of Versailles famously never made the French government money. Famously didn't, because the French have no king.
Well,
same with Germany, the palaces they have there famously never made anyone money.
Maybe not after this week, after everything got nicked.
Well, you know, you get your chance. You know, you pay €15 or whatever it costs you to get in, you get your chance to steal stuff. You gotta buy a ticket to win the raffle, you know.
I've got to ask, do you think this is the end of the monarchy? Do you think this will pull it down?
I think it's... I mean, the monarchy is going to come to an end. We already had about 2 months ago the public attitude survey come out saying that 38% would rather get rid of it, which is a big jump on a few years ago. And It's been, I mean, if you look at some of the longer term survey studies, it's been on a decline for a long time. And a lot of the support it had was with the Queen. Now, what we now have is just William and Kate, Charles and Camilla. They're completely unremarkable people. And they are all embroiled in scandal. And people just, at a time when we've got cost of living and, you know, huge sort of social and economic and cultural shifts in the way people think about these sorts of things, they're going to carry on losing support, and they have no way back. And this sort of thing is likely to have done huge damage again, and it will continue to do huge damage. And if they think that sticking their heels in the dirt and saying we're not going to officially get rid of his titles and we're not going to take his house away and whatever, that that's going to help them, it's all it's going to do is make people angry and pissed off. If they think that getting rid of his title and getting him out of their house is going to help them, it's not, because the next scandal that comes up, what else are you going to do? What's the next thing? They're going to run out of road. When when they run out of road with things to do and stupid punishments they can mete out, they're going to have to face the fact that he needs to be arrested and charged. And whilst we're doing this, now they're talking, even Starmer saying, yes, we can have an inquiry into the Crown Estate and in relation to...
Starmer said that.
He agreed with Ed Davey. He said we need to look into the Crown Estate in relation to the house that Andrew's living in. Now, that's pretty extraordinary in the sense, and I don't think they necessarily thought it through, because you're starting to pick at the threads and you're starting to open doors that they don't want opened. And they are, if any secrets start coming out, if any of those doors get unlocked where you can see what's going on behind closed doors, they are finished.
Wow. Would you agree with that, Madge? Do you think it's,
I think it's at the end? It's a good start, but I think the problem is that it'll only change when people start asking how much is this all costing, the royal family and all that stuff. That's the question, like, especially in the economy we're in. I think someone like Polanski will make a big difference in that. But I think, you know, if they, the patriotic argument is what people, especially like Reform and other like politicians, like conservatives and stuff, will make about how, you know, king and country and all of this stuff. So I think they've got a while left, but I think a couple more scandals, like big ones like this, I don't see them being able to defend it. So I think we need a few more. But, you know, when people look into the money, like Channel 4 did a documentary on it last year, didn't they? I think Dispatches did something into it. And, you know, the more stuff that comes out like that, that will help.
The big key is the politicians need to be prepared to speak up, and they currently are not speaking up, and certainly not with any great strength and authority, and they need to do that. I said this to journalists yesterday, I said on social media, when they realise that it is not about Andrew being friends with a criminal, it's about whether or not Andrew is a criminal. When that penny drops, then they're in serious trouble, because then the politicians will start to act. But if they carry on behaving the way they are, with this kind of email we got back tonight from a Lib Dem MP saying, you know, it comes down to what the King wants, you know, that is garbage. You know, we have to push it to the point where the politicians realise it is not about what they want. They are the ones that need to be investigated.
It has been wild listening to idiots on TV turn around and say, oh, we can't get him in court. And I'm like, yeah, we can. We've done it before. What are you talking about?
Just say what?
Or can't remove the title. And you're like, what? It's a made up, make believe title, like fairies course, and gnomes.
Yeah, it's absolute garbage. Yeah.
I mean, are they saying he's above democracy then? Is he above, you know, due course and justice? Because if he is, then we're not in a democracy then. We're as democratic as Russia or China at that point. And that's all it is.
In practice, we do not have equality in law, absolutely.
That's what it is.
But Crusader Dick said, "Everyone, no one's above the law."
No, apparently, if they've got credible evidence on Andrew, which I think they do, and they're saying we can't get him because he's a prince, then he's above the law. Yeah, he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, like, you know, all that Trump nonsense, right? He could go to Piccadilly Square, wherever it's called, right, shoot someone, and they're like, no, we can't do anything.
I was in Parliament giving evidence about protests about 3 weeks after the arrests at the coronation, and I was sitting there listening to Matt Twist, the deputy assistant commissioner or whatever he was of the Metropolitan Police, head of public order. I mean, the guy comes across an idiot, as a lot of senior police officers do, unfortunately, but he sat there with a straight face and said, no, we police without fear or favour. And that is demonstrably untrue. It is not true that the police police without fear or favour. They police fearful of public reaction, and they police fearful of official reaction if they step over certain lines. And they police very much in favour of those in the royals. They will not touch them. Now, we were protesting outside Andrew's house on Tuesday, It was only just a small stunt, four people holding a placard, and I had a megaphone talking very loudly, loud enough that Andrew could probably hear it. And about half an hour later, a couple of policemen, police officers turned up, and they were pleasant enough. And they said, yeah, I said, we're not doing anything wrong. I said, no, that's true. And I said, because there's press around us. And I said, whilst you're here, if you walk down that road through that gate, go through the next gate and down to the big house, knock on the door. There's a guy there. He answers the name of Andrew Windsor. He's accused of serious sexual offences. Go and arrest him and stick him in the back of your car. And they just didn't want to know. Obviously. Now, you know, you can appreciate, you know, a couple of junior plods not wanting to get involved. But any police officer should have the power to do that if they have reasonable grounds for thinking they someone has committed an offence. But they know that they would probably lose their job if they did that. And they know that the people above them will not allow them to arrest Andrew. And that is shocking.
But that's what the security guy who was police protection for Andrew was saying. No one dared say anything. No one brought anything to the Queen when he was an officer. And he said Maxwell was going in there on a routine. But Maxwell didn't have to give her name. She could just drive straight through the gates. And they said that was extraordinary. That's why they remembered her so much. But they were also like, why is Robert Maxwell's daughter hanging out with Andrew? Does the Queen know? That seems really dodgy.
I mean, it would have got back because they would have told their senior officer saying, I don't know what to do about this. Am I supposed to tell people? And it would have gone back up the ranks and someone would have said something to someone, whether the Queen personally, but certainly they would have been aware of what was going on. But yeah, those officers weren't allowed to really do anything or cause a fuss. But of course, Andrew had personal protection officers with him when he was in Epstein's flat in London, or Ghislaine Maxwell's flat in London with Virginia Giuffre. At the time when Andrew was saying, oh, no, it couldn't have been me because I was, you know, in Pizza Express in Woking, which is clearly a barefaced lie, the police would have been with him, whether it was in Epstein's place or Pizza Express. But conveniently, when people say, well, can we see your notebooks and your records? Oh, sorry, it's all been destroyed.
So the protection officer that was on, just to confirm this, but protection officer that was on 60 Minutes Australia this week was saying he remembered talking to an officer on that night that Andrew came back at around 10 o'clock, but the officer won't come forward because he doesn't want the hassle of the press and the palace and everything else being pushed on him. But he's like, I'd love to name him, I can't, but that's what I was told. And the reason we remember is because it's really unusual. If they're out, they don't come back till much later, if at all.
Right. But
so they weren't, I mean, they weren't expecting him.
They weren't at Pizza Express working. I mean, this is the thing.
It's only an hour and a half away. You can finish at 9 and be back by fucking 10.
But I mean, they went when he made that excuse, people went to working and said, do you ever remember Andrew, you know, having dinner in Pizza Express? And he's like, no. And you would remember that, you know. It would be talk of the town for years.
Well, he's not a famous member of the royal family. Maybe he just went in there, ordered a pizza, no one knew who he was, you know. Is that what's his name? Andrew. Andrew, Andrew, mate. That's my
he's
name.
He's just down the road from Windsor. They wouldn't know who he is. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting as well, because there was something else within that where the office, the protection officer turned around and said, isn't it funny that the only witness Andrew has is himself? And that's it. None of the other protection officers have come forward to say, yeah, he wasn't there. And like he would have had two, the guy reckoned he would have had one or two on the island.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was at the Pizza Express, they would have shut the place down. If they're like, you know, if they close down a whole street just because of royal family members coming past, there's no way they're going to let other people eat at the Pizza Express if he's going there.
He wouldn't have gone anywhere near it. I mean, the idea that he eats at Pizza Express is just garbage. And
he could have come up with something better.
Yeah.
Sweating.
No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that.
On that note, thank you so much, Graham. Yeah, Graham, do you want to plug your book?
Thank you. It's Abolish the Monarchy. It's actually Abolish the Monarchy, Why We Should and How We Will, because we are going to do it. So paperback and hardback, and also available along with Andrew Lanley's book and some great books from Norman Baker and a few others from the public's own shop, so as well as other retail outlets.
Amazing. Thank you.
I would also say I haven't done it yet, but out of respect for Virginia Giuffre, buy her book as well, because that's out this week, and I want to pick up a copy. But it's absolutely shocking, and she deserves that much.
100%. Yeah, we'll put links in the description as well. Right. Thanks, everyone.
Hail to the land. Thank you very much.
Not to Prince Andrew. We'll be right back.
Tune in next week for another exciting story from the files of Police Squad.
Love, marry, send to Mars, Graham.
Jesus.
Who do you want to... You got three choices. You got to send one... Well, you got to make your choices.
Is it all members of the monarchy?
Oh, that's what he wanted.
That's good.
I was going to offer him stats on witches versus Brexit, but no, he had to go for this.
I don't know whether I'm going to love or marry any of them, but
I don't think you have much choice. By royal decree, you must decide.
It's Halloween. So, Prince Andrew, Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth II.
Oh, God, that's the worst possible choice. I mean, I send them all to Mars. I'm going to just... you can't possibly expect me to answer that in any other way.
He gave you an answer, to be fair. You didn't say he couldn't do that. You didn't say you couldn't do that, to be fair to him.
That's a good answer. You made us laugh, so we'll keep that. Madge, you're three. Yeah. Rory Stewart.
Fucking
Alistair Campbell.
Oh, Jesus.
Tony Blair.
Why? I guess...
Which is better than my choice.
I would love Tony Blair because, you know, the school education system was good when I was a kid. I'd send Rory Stewart to Mars because I hate that geezer. And I guess I'd have to marry Alistair Campbell.
You realize, I mean, yeah.
He'll help me spin it. He'll help me spin, you know, any issues I have. So, yeah, it works. Yeah. And if I have to go to war with a country that doesn't have nuclear missiles, I know who to speak to.
Bye.